Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're about to be joined by former NFL GM, Odyssey Sports, NFL insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. It is weekly listening for me, Michael Lombardi, on the GM Shuffle. That's available on the Odyssey app to talk about the Cowboys and the NFL draft, plus the Aaron Rodgers drama. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys?
Doing pretty well. We don't know how to feel about Micah Parsons in terms of picking a linebacker instead of getting the corners that went off the board, especially with the linebacker they got out of LSU later on. What is your philosophy on middle linebacker or linebackers these days, especially in this Dan Quinn defensive system?
Well, in the Dan Quinn, Pete Carroll system, the linebacker is critical. The Mike backer is one of the most critical components to the defense. I think you see it in Seattle with Bobby Wagner. You know, when they took Bobby Wagner in the second round, I think you can make the case that Bobby wasn't, you know, overly instinctive, and he could run and he could make plays, but where was the fit? And I think, you know, that's the same thing you could make for Parsons, and the fact that he can do a lot of things, attack the pocket, it gives their defense the ability to be faster. When your mic's fast, your defense is fast. And in this scheme, your mic has to be really fast because it's a zone concept, and you're going to be able to have to be able to cover all the inside routes with the inside backer. And so he's not coming off the field. I mean, it's no longer, you know, what down is it? It's what formation is it? And he's got to stay on the field for whatever the formation it is.
Michael, they now have a crowded linebacker room. They declined the option on Van Der Esch on Monday. You got Jalen Smith, who the fans don't love around here. We talked about Jabril Cox being drafted out of LSU. What do you think this means for Van Der Esch, for Jalen Smith, especially when you're playing nickel with two linebackers on the field to get all these guys playing time?
Well, you know, look, I think that, you know, again, I really believe downs don't matter. I think it's formations that matter. And so if you have an 11 personnel group on the field for the offense, one back, one tight end, you've got to have an 11 personnel defense. And that middle linebacker has to be able to play whether in 11, whether in 12, whether in 21. So I don't think it really looks like he's a nickel backer. I think it looks like he's going to play versus every formation. Because third down is no longer just the passing down. Every down's passing. So, you know, what I think it spells is competition. I think it spells that, look, you know, I know there's all sorts of services that say Jalen Smith's having this great season, but you watch the tape and he really doesn't look like that. So I think he's getting competition. And I think that anybody who watches pro football with an acute eye understands that he's not the same player and that maybe that drop leg does affect him at times.
Michael, if you were sitting there where they were at 12, or let's just say at 10, and the Bears, because the Bears gave a first rounder up to get to 11 with the Giants, would you have gone down to 20? Or even if the Saints, I mean, because you know the Bills a couple years ago traded down from 20 to 10, from 10 to 27, and got two firsts from a home, so you would have thought the Saints would have done the same to get up to get a quarterback. Would you have gone down for an added first or two added firsts and dropped that far in the first?
I think the problem with this draft was, especially for the Cowboys, you know, you could go down to 20, and then who are you going to pick, a receiver? You want another receiver that's never going to get on the field? Because that's going to be the highest rated player on your board. You know, the extra picks are nice. They turn into players. And the extra picks are wonderful, but you got to make sure you have a roster where you can get play time on those picks. And I think that was really the hard part. I think that if you traded down to 20, what were you going to get at 20? Were you going to get a rush end? Is that who you liked? Were you going to get a linebacker that you felt you were comfortable with? I don't think that's the case. So, you know, you can cling to that extra sixth-round pick that you get this year for you know, and hang on to it. But in reality, you moved away from a good player, and that's probably the mistake. And in this draft, there was really, because it was so light on defensive players, you know, you had to kind of stay in there and take the player you thought was the best.
Former NFL GM Michael Lombardi here on the Home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ. How did you and the different organizations that you worked in deal with the character guys? We have three question marks here with Micah Parsons and the hazing incident at Penn State, Kelvin Joseph leaving LSU for Kentucky, and then the worst of all looks like Josh Ball with domestic violence accusations. How did you guys in your organizations look at those types of picks?
Well, I think the owner sets the agenda, right? If you know, some organizations I've worked for said, hey, look, domestic violence, we won't tolerate it. That's it. You know, there's not going to be anybody that comes in here. I don't care what the situation is or what happened or innocence or guilt. Once there's a charge like that, once somebody strikes a woman, they're off the board. And so that comes from the owner. And then everything else is a line item case by case. You've got to look into it. You know, character's defined a lot of different ways. There's football character, then there's off-the-field character. And how important is football to the player, you know, and what is his behavior like off the field? And you've got to get an accurate answer on that. You just can't go by what you read in the paper or what you hear from other people. You've got to really dig deep, because a lot of guys that have this alleged character rumor about them don't necessarily have bad character. You know, maybe they have somebody bad-mouthing them. You've got to evaluate the evaluator. It's the hardest thing to do in the draft. Discovering the talent, it's easy. Understanding the character is the hard part.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic picked Philadelphia as his number one draft class with what they did. But there was a video that went viral with Howie Roseman and Tom Donahue when Donahue was not happy that Howie pulled off a trade and took a different player that Donahue apparently wanted. How often does that happen every single draft? And did you have an instance where someone in the room, you didn't have all the videos and maybe all the access and some of the stops that you were in, but can you recall an instance where someone was ticked off in the room that you're happy wasn't caught on video?
Well, you know, in every room I've been in, nobody acted that happy after a pick. Like, you know, like this celebration after picks, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, yeah. I've never high-fived Al Davis after a pick ever. Like, after we made the pick, he would look at me and say, are you sure that was a good pick? You know, or, you know, he would have a commentary on it. No, that was never the case. I mean, with Belichick, you think we were high-fiving after a pick? Seriously, come on. I mean, it's all theatrics for the camera. Come on, they know the camera's in there. They know they're watching. Donahoe obviously didn't know it, you know, but Howie certainly did. And you know, I think that's what goes on. And that's what it's a TV event now. You know, it's a TV event. When I was a fat kid in college, I used to take the Long Island Railroad into New York to sit and stand in line because there was only 500 seats at the Sheraton. You could watch the draft, and I had to get there at 3:30 in the morning. Now it's, you know, it takes us 25 minutes before we even turn in a pick. You know, we got to go through the band. We got to have a commissioner's chair. We've got to do dancing, you know, and so it's just an event, and I think it's great. I think it's tremendous, especially for me who works for VSiN, and we do a lot of betting on who's going to go where and when. You know, it's tremendous. I mean, it's one of the most bet sporting events after games, after the Final Four, than we'll have for the rest of the year.
And every team always makes the right pick with the way they celebrate. I agree with you. And every team always has.
But you don't have to. Did you hear one negative comment about any player?
No.
I mean, there's 32 teams going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, every player was great. I mean, Leatherwood for the Raiders, that I would say the commentators didn't love that pick, but that would be the only one. Everyone else, I mean, they're all the Will Rogers of scouting. They love everyone.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did you ever have a draft where you were like, I don't feel great about this? You were honest with yourself and you're like, I know we didn't hit a home run this year?
Oh, I knew it after we made a great trade. We traded Eric Metcalf. We flopped with Atlanta. We got the ninth pick overall, or the 10th pick overall in the draft. We traded up. We were going to pick Kyle Brady, perhaps. We loved Warren Sapp, and the league office told us that, you know, Warren Sapp was had some issues, and our owner was like, we got to listen to the league office's security department, and we passed on Sapp. We traded down, made a great trade. We traded down. The 49ers came up to pick J.J. Stokes. We ended up with a one next year, made a tremendous trade. But we were just sitting there deciding between, you know, Curtis Martin or Craig Powell, and we felt like, okay, Curtis Martin was hurt quite a bit at Pitt. We had a coach on our coaching staff who recruited him, And we said we'll get him in the round later. And we took Powell, bad pick, and then we didn't get Martin. You know, it's one of those days. I went home and burnt my clothes. I would never wear those clothes ever again.
I grew up a Browns fan. You just gave me nightmares. I remember that draft. That was the trading out of 27 or something like that. I'm just let's move on. The Aaron Rodgers situation.
Yeah.
If you're the Packers, I know they don't want to trade him, obviously. But if you were them, wouldn't it have made sense? Like, it's too late to trade him now. Like, if you were going to trade, it would have been before the draft where you get a top 10 pick. Now, whoever you trade him to is going to be picking in the 20s because Aaron Rodgers is going to make them a contender.
Well, unless the Raiders would trade you Derek Carr back for him. Unless you trade him to a team that wants to trade their quarterback that's under contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what you could do, and then get a boatload of picks and get Carr. Carr's got 2 years left on this deal. It's $40 million. You know, and then you know, the Raiders and both players are under contract. So you could easily do that, unless you traded them to a team that had a quarterback. Say you traded them to Houston, you know, and you got Deshaun Watson back, you know. Say you traded them to somebody, you know. Now, Denver would be a little bit harder because they don't have a quarterback to give you back one. But there's always teams that might be able to have a quarterback to get back. I mean, that's how Jay Cutler got traded. They took Kyle Orton back. Not that he was any good, but that's what they did.
Whose side are you on with this whole Aaron Rodgers drama, the organization or Aaron's?
Oh, I'm on Rodgers' side all the way. I wrote a column about it. Look, here's what you have to understand. No one understands this, but I wrote about it, and I try to explain it. The Packers, as an organization, have always been set up this way. There's no owner, so they have a president. The president basically runs the business operation, keeps the board of trustees happy. He hires the general manager. The general manager hires the coach. You'd have to go back to Lombardi, before Lombardi in 59, before that dynamic changed. When Bob Harlan came in, he hired Tom Bratz as the general manager. Bratz hired Lindy Infante. They fired both men. Then they hired Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf hired Mike Holmgren. It wasn't until Mike Sherman got total power that dynamic changed. Okay? When Ted Thompson retired, he had it in his contract. He was in complete control of the organization football-wise. The head coach reported to him. When Thompson quit, Murphy, the president of the team, then made the general manager report to him, and the head coach report to him, and both general manager and head coach were on the same level. He wanted to be involved. He wanted to run the team like he ran the Northwestern Athletic Department, because that's what he does. So there's no owner there. Think about Jerry. Think about Jerry Jones. Think about all the great players that have come through. Look, Jerry's one of the greatest salesmen of all time, and he bought a team that, you know, everybody said he paid too much, and now he's got boats and helicopters and facilities and all that, well-deserved. But a lot of those players endear themselves to him to make the fortune. And Jerry is appreciative of those players. He gives back to those players. He has a sympathetic heart because he knows he wouldn't be where he was, as great of a businessman as he was, without those players. The Packers don't have that. They don't have that element at their team. They have nobody who can appreciate Aaron Rodgers for what they've done for him. Just think about this. Tampa Bay Buccaneers increased their sales of jerseys 1,200% because of Tom Brady. You don't think the Glazer family appreciates what Brady does? Whereas in Green Bay, when their ticket sales, when their revenue sales from jerseys goes, it just goes into their pool. No one says, hey, thank you, you're making me richer, because the company's richer. And I think that's ultimately the problem.
How surprised were you that Trey Lance went 3 over Mac Jones?
I was really surprised. I mean, I was surprised to the minute. I mean, I was told up until the minute. I think what happened, and of course, everybody's denying it now, and everybody's saying Trey Lance was. Okay, great. I love that. You know, we can go with that rhetoric, and you can convince yourself of that. That's wonderful. But the reality of it is, you know, everybody thought he traded up to get Mac Jones, and I think the pressure of the situation got to him. I think that his experience with Brian Griese never really getting a fair chance in Denver, his experience with Kirk Cousins never really getting a fair chance in Washington, I think it just was too much. I think if Mac Jones would have been drafted by the 49ers, the pressure would have been really great on him.
Are you surprised the Patriots didn't have to move to get a quarterback?
I am, but I think the reason they didn't have to move is because they liked another quarterback in the draft. I think they felt like, look, either we're going to get Mac Jones at 15 or we're going to get Davis Mills somewhere in the second round. And I think that's ultimately the two quarterbacks that they liked. I've said this from day one. The nonsense, the smokescreen about Justin Fields, them moving up to Justin Fields, was really one of the all-time great smokescreens.
Are you surprised that Al Davis didn't know who Darth Vader was? Amy Trask told a story yesterday. May the 4th be with you for Star Wars. She said, I needed a photo op with Al and Darth Vader. And Al said, who the F is Darth Vader?
Seriously, he'd have no chance of knowing who Darth Vader was. Zero.
I can't believe that.
Oh, are you kidding me? You think he went to a movie? I mean, he listened to Billie Holiday music. You know, he listened to certain music. He loved women's basketball. If you asked him about women's, like, he could have come on and done your radio show, the two of you radio show, and talked nothing but women's basketball, and he'd have blown you away. He'd have blown you away. He knew everything about women's NCAA college basketball, knew it all. He knew the NBA, and he knew the NFL, and that was his life. That's all he cared about. And then, you know, obviously the Raiders were his passion, but he studied other sports to help him learn his sport.
Was Al Davis a much better football man than Jerry Jones?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, look, in fairness to Jerry, Jerry's a salesman. Jerry's a trader. Al grew up in it. You know, Al started at the Citadel. You know, he coached. Al was at USC. He coached. Al was at the Chargers under the great Sid Gilman, the passing game. He coached. You know, he was the head coach of the Raiders once. So he knew the game. I mean, you get to a blackboard. You know, Al Davis, when he interviewed coaches, he didn't come in and talk to them. He put them up on the blackboard. He made them put up a formation. Okay, you know, here's the formation. Tell me what you're going to do about that. And he started playing who has the chalk last. He was pretty good at it.
Michael Lombardi right here on Sean and RJ to recap the draft. Get inside the Packers drama right here on the Fan. We'll tell Broadus you said hello. Enjoy the rest of your day, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That was Odyssey Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series. It's available on odyssey.com/Dell. And you can also check out Michael on the GM Shuffle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.